Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It falls out this year on Ches Mar Cheshvan. This Shabbos is Ches Mar Cheshvan, which is the eighth day of the eighth month. Mar Cheshvan is the eighth month. It's called the Navi Chodesh Hashemini, the month of eight, because it's the eighth month after Nisan. And it's interesting that this coming Friday, Thursday night, in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to start asking for rain. The same Talmud Matar we ask on Zion Mar Cheshvan, which is Friday. Why? Really, rain should be asked for immediately following Sukkot, or even Chol HaMoed, but we wait till after Sukkot. We don't want it to rain on Sukkot. And we also wait till the last Jew who lived the furthest away from Yerushalayim, who was Ola Regel for Sukkot, comes home. As the Mishnah says in Tainus, Ad Shemagia Achrein Shebi Yisrael in a hard press. And on Zion Mar Cheshvan, the Jew who lives the furthest is home, and therefore now we can ask for rain. As we mentioned last year, some of the lessons we can learn from that. What's interesting to note, though, is the Shach, other poskim, tell us, even halachically, that if one writes a shtar, and on the document he writes that this is taking place Sukkot time, it is considered Sukkot until Zion Mar Cheshvan. Being that we don't ask for rain until the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, because we're waiting for that Jew who lives far away to get home. So it's considered that it is still Tishrei, still Sukkot until Zion Mar Cheshvan, which means the first plain day, if you want to call it. The first day that we're in the mundane, and back to business as usual, as some would say, is Ches Mar Cheshvan, the eighth day of the eighth month. And that's interesting because we all know the number eight is the number that is associated with not only the supernatural, but the number eight is the number that is associated with being a Jew, which begins in this week's parasha. The eighth mitzvah ever given to mankind after the seven mitzvahs that were given to Adam and Noach. Noach received mitzvah number seven, which is Eva Menachai. Avraham Avinu was now introduced in this week's parasha to mitzvah number eight, which is performed on the eighth day, as the pasuk says, Uben Shmeinas Yomim, Yimay Lochem Kol Zohar, which is what connects us, as all mitzvahs do, to the world of eight, to the world of Shmini, which is the number that is associated with the future. Olam Haba, Haba, Hey Beis Aleph, which is equal to eight, the world of eternity, the world of the future. Our world is a world of seven. Our world is a world where there is no eternity. Everything in this world spoils, decomposes, doesn't last. It is a world where everything rots at the end. And it's interesting that the month that we're entering now is also referred to in Navi as Yerach Bul, the month of decay, the month of rotting and spoiling, because in this month, as it seems, the world seems to be going through a decay period. The leaves are falling off the trees, and the fields look like they're in destructive mode. The mounds of earth that are being plowed, actually preparing for planting season, as we mentioned last week, but it looks like the world is going through a destructive state. In fact, the world was destroyed in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan with the Mabul. What's interesting is here we have a month, this is the month that we're in now, that is referred to as Yerach Bul, month of Bul, which also means decay, and yet we call it the Chodesh Hashemini, the eighth month, the month that is associated with eight, which the number eight is the number associated with eternity, yet it is called Yerach Bul. How do we reconcile that? In fact, in Melachim, the Pasuk actually says, Yerach Bul hu HaChodesh Hashemini. That's a contradiction, because if it's Bul, it's not Shmini. If it's Shmini, it's not Bul. If it's a world of decay, it's not a world of eight. If it's a world of eight, it's not a world of decay. And what makes this even more puzzling is that, as we read in Sefer Yetzirah, the month of Mar Cheshvan was created with the letter Nun. Now we know that the letter Nun, the number 50, which Nun is equal to 50, is the number also associated with the future. Shar Hanun, that which will be revealed in the future. The 50th day is the first day of the eighth week, after counting 7 weeks, which connects Nun to Ches, the fact that Mar Cheshvan is the eighth month created with the letter Nun, but this is a plain month. This is a month with no Yom Tov in it, nothing special. That's what it seems, at least. And it is referred to as the Erev Bul, but at the same time, it is Chodesh HaShemini. The mazel of this month is Akrev. Akrev is the scorpion. The scorpion is certainly not a kosher creature, not a pleasant creature, not a creature that anyone would want to be in its vicinity, anyone near it. It's poisonous. What is the significance of the fact that Mar Cheshvan is Mazel Akrev, Scorpio? Now, this parasha Lech Lecha, we read in Mar Cheshvan, always. And the parasha begins where Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, go. Go, as Rashi says, Lecha for your benefit. Lahana oscha uletoivoscha. Now, since when does Avram or any tzaddik do things for his benefit? That Hashem says, Lech Lecha lahana oscha uletoivoscha. This is for your pleasure and for your benefit. And we know this is one of the 10 tests. The Asara and the Siyonis of Avram Avinu begin in this week's parasha. What kind of test is it when Avram Avinu was being told, go and it'll be for your benefit. There you're going to have children, you're going to become famous and wealthy, so of course he's going to go. Who's not going to go? The parasha is a continuation of the previous parasha. Although this is, of course, a new beginning, this is the parasha of the first Jew in history, Avraham Avinu, who was not born Jewish. In fact, he was born Tomei. The Medrash says he was a Ben Nida. Mi Yitein Tohar Mi Tomei. He originates in Tuma, and he transforms himself, he purifies himself, but he was born to a family of idol worshippers, Terach, as we say in the Haggadah, Mitchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah Haya Aviseinu, Pasuk in Yehoshua. We all know Terach was a known, notorious idol worshipper who was even willing to sacrifice his own son for idol worship. He was ready to have him burnt for destroying his idols. And Avraham Avinu was born into such a family and transforms himself.
Is there a relationship between this and the Akedah?
Because we use the word sacrifice. But it is not. It is not at all. It's a totally different idea. Even though I use the word sacrifice, it's a totally different idea. We'll get to that perhaps. The parsha ends, the previous parsha ends, Vayomos Terach b'choron. Terach died in Choron. Now, Rashi tells us on the spot here, Terach did not die right now. Terach is still living for another 60 years. Avram was 75 when he left Choron, as we read in our parsha. And we know that Terach was 70 years older than Avraham, as the pasuk says. Terach was 70 years when Avram was born. And it says Terach lived 205 years, so if you do your math, you know that Terach didn't die here, because Avram left when he was 75, and being that Terach is 70 years older than him, that means Terach was 145 when Avram left, but he didn't die until he was 205. Why does the pasuk say, Vayomos Terach b'choron? This is not chronologically correct. It's not historically correct. Yes, the Torah is written out of order. We know, Ein mukdam u'mu'ochar b'Torah, but why would the Torah tell us here that Terach died? So Rashi gives two answers. One, the Torah says Terach died here, even though he did not, so that the world should not say, how could it be that Avraham Avinu left his old father back in Choron? Avraham does not fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and he leaves his father alone in Choron, and he takes his family and goes to a foreign land. So therefore, the pasuk says, he died. Strange answer.
That is the answer to the question.
Meaning, for kids. In other words, when you learn the pasuk, you're not going to ask the question because it says he died in Choron, and you go further. But obviously, that's a very difficult answer because he didn't die. The Torah says he did. In other words, don't be concerned with the fact that Avraham left. And therefore, Rashi comes on to what seems to be another interpretation, or perhaps it really isn't another interpretation, but it's a continuation. And he says, in parentheses, there's a va'od. Without the parentheses, it's really a continuation. That the wicked are called dead even when they're alive. This is the famous Chazal, Shehorishoyim, Af b'chayehem, Kruyim, Mesim. So when the pasuk says Terach died in Choron, it doesn't mean that he actually died. It means he was considered dead. He was a Rasha. So perhaps what Rashi means, Avram wasn't obligated to honor him anyway, perhaps, even though halachically one is obligated even to honor a father that is a Rasha, but perhaps a Rasha as Terach is different. But it seems to be another interpretation that Terach died in Charan. It means he died spiritually in Charan, but physically he died 70 years later. Now Rashi could have ended his parish right there and then, and because he answers the question, but he moves on and he says the Hatzadikim af b'misasan kruyin chayim. That Tzadikim, even after they die, are called alive. What does that have to do with this? We're not talking about a tzaddik who passed on and is called alive. We're talking about a Rasha who's living and therefore is referred to as dead. Why does Rashi add that? That's not anything that we're talking about over here. There's no reason for Rashi to say it, even for those who say that Rashi is trying to end off with something pleasant rather than end off with a chazal, shahar shoyim af b'chayim kruyim meisim. Then this would be every time Rashi says anything negative, we would have to end off with something positive. This is not Rashi's way of doing things. Why does Rashi insert this here? And then Rashi says, Becharon, the nun is backwards in the last word, Becharon. Ayamas Terach Becharon. Mefarshim discuss what that means. Because in our Sefer Torah, there's no backwards nun. Whatever, Mefarshim talk about it. We're not going into that now. But he says, the nun is hafucha to tell us that until Avram, there was Charon Af. Charon af shel mokom. But Hashem was very upset. Hashem was angry at the world. As Mefarshim explained, Charon is from the word Charon. Charon af, which means anger. And being that the nun was written backwards, it's to tell us that this is till here and then it stops. It turns around. There's Charon af till now. The first 20 generations from Adam till Avraham, although the word tzaddikim, but Hashem is not really satisfied with them. Now, finally, Hashem is sort of appeased that there's a tzaddik in the world who's going to do his bidding, he's going to do his wishes. Avraham Avinu is going to transform the world, he's going to change the world, he's going to spread godliness throughout the world, and so the Charon Af is ending, it's turned around. Nun Hafucha, why is it a nun? Why is this message told to us? Because the nun is backwards. The Reish could have been backwards, the Ches could have been backwards, the word is Charon, which is Charon, why is it the nun? This parsha, talking to us about the first Jew, the Reishis, the Rosh of the Ma'aminim, he is the first of all the believers, as the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu is the Rosh L'chol HaMa'aminim, the first to begin the process of redemption, although he did live quite a long time ago, Avraham Avinu, but he began what is really the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to bring the Shechina down below. As the Medrash says, Ikka Shechina b'tachtoinim hoisa. The Shechina originally was here on this planet. But as a result of the chatoim of Adam and Cain and Enosh, Dor HaMabel, Dor HaFloga, the Shechina gets further and leaves the earth and gets further and further away. And starting with Avraham, the first generation, the first Jew, he begins to bring the Shechina back to earth. He doesn't complete the job, he begins the job. The job will be completed with Mashiach. Mashiach will bring the Shechina down to earth permanently. Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Shechina down to earth. The Mishkan was built. Then there was the Egel. I'm sorry, the Torah was given by Yered Hashem al Har Sinai. Then there was the Egel. Then the Mishkan was built. But the Mishkan later on was destroyed in Shiloh, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So it was never really permanent. Mashiach will finish the job. That which Avraham starts, Mashiach completes. And in this parasha, we have the first Jew who was given the first mitzvah that connects us to the number 8, which is the number that is associated with the future, the number that is associated with Mashiach. Mashiach will introduce to the world this realm of 8. As the Gemara says, Mashiach plays the harp of 8 strings. Kinar shel shmeina nimen. Amanatzeach al hashminis. It all starts here. And being that this is the Rosh, this is the first sort of Jewish parasha. Bereishis and Noyach is for the Goyim too. Bereishis and Noyach talk about Bnei Noyach. Those are Goyim. Those are Goyim who are connected to the world of 7. They have 7 mitzvahs. 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noyach. Noyach wasn't able to reach the number 8. Or Adam or Mesushalach. These were great people. And in their generations, they were definitely tzaddikim. But they did not reach the levels that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, down to Moshe Rabbeinu, and of course to Mashiach reach. And this is where Am Yisrael begins. Yes, HaNefesh Asher Asu Bechorah, and the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, here's where the Shnei Alofim Torah begin. The world was created to last 6,000 years. The first 2,000 are Toihu, void, beginning when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old. That's when Avraham Avinu began spreading the word, spreading Torah. Yes, HaNefesh Asher Asu Bechorah is when Avraham is 52, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. That's when the Shnei Alafim Torah start. That's when the 2,000 years, known as the 2,000 years of the Tkufa of Torah, begin. With Avram spreading Torah when he's 52. That starts in this week's parasha. This is the beginning of Torah. And more than that, this is the beginning of connecting Gashmias to Ruchnias, which is what Torah is all about. The power of the Torah is the power of the Torah and its mitzvahs to connect the physical world with the spiritual. Shomayim to Oretz. Gashmias to Ruchnias. Yerach Bul, Hu HaChodesh Hashmini. A month of decay, which in Ma'acheshvan, we have to deal with the outside world, as we spoke about last week. We have to deal with the mundane and the physical. Whether it's someone who's in business and he's no longer going to shul as much as he did in Tishrei, or even it's the B'nai HaYeshiva who start learning in Ma'acheshvan. But this is still the month without a Yom Tov. This is a plain month. This is a month that seems to be a month of Meriris, Ma'acheshvan, Bitter Cheshvan. A month in which the Akrav rules, the scorpion. The scorpion, the Gemara says, gives off a poison that is freezing. It freezes the nerves. Unlike the snake, the nachash, it says, the poison of the nachash, of the certain nachash, and they're called srafim, burns, it's hot, while the akrav is cold. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, lo hizik nachash ve'akrav b'Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, the snake and the scorpion never caused any damage. The snake and the scorpion are symbolic of that which is negative. The snake, which is hot, is someone who is hot to that which he should not be hot to, someone who's warm to that which is no good. And the akrav, which is cold, means he's cold to Yiddishkeit. There's a kriris. When Ma'acheshvan arrives, kriris sets in. There's a kriris. We're not as warm as we were to Yiddishkeit in the month of Tishrei. There's a kriris. The word akrav, in fact, has kufresh in the middle of it, which is kar, which is cold. And our job is to remove that kriris, or take that kriris and use it for the negative. We should be cold to that which is negative, and remain warm to that which we're supposed to be warm to Torah and mitzvahs. The job of a Jew manifests itself in Ma'acheshvan, because Ma'acheshvan is what it's all about. In a month as this, Ma'acheshvan, Mazal Akrav, Yerach Bul, the job of a Jew is to transform the decay of this world into eternity. The bull becomes Shemini. The Akrav, the Mazal Akrav, becomes positive. And that's what Avraham Avinu begins doing. That's the job of a Jew, and that's what Mashiach is going to bring into the world. When he's going to bring the full realization of this concept of connecting Gashmias and Ruchnias permanently. The purpose of the creation of the Gashmiasdika world, of the physical world, was not to destroy it, was not to negate it, but on the contrary, to elevate it and to connect the Gashmias to Ruchnias. Avraham Avinu is a new beginning. Avraham Avinu has nothing to do with his past. The Imre Emes writes, that's why the parasha before us ends with Vayomas Terach B'choron. He gives a different interpretation than that which Rashi says. And he tells us, Vayomas Terach B'choron. Terach is dead. Avraham has nothing to do with him anymore. This is a new beginning. Avraham is not connected to his past. Avraham Avinu starts the world over again. This is a totally new haschol. Vayomas Terach B'choron. Vayomas Hashem El Avraham Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu on his own removed himself from the tumah of his forebears. Avraham Avinu himself left the influence of his family. That's why Hashem doesn't tell Avraham, say me'artzecha, as Mefarshim ask. Why does it say lech lecha? It should say, go out. As it says later, v'yetzeu l'oleches artze kenan, b'tzeisa'i mecharon. The command was not to go out. The command is lech lecha. Avraham Avinu already went out. Otherwise Hashem wouldn't be speaking to him. Hashem doesn't have to tell him to remove himself from the tumah of his past. He already did that on his own, as the Medrash tells us, when he was 48, or according to one opinion, 3. The Rambam says he was 40. Avraham Avinu recognized his Creator, and not because he had a teacher who taught it to him, a Rebbe who taught it to him, his parents, on the contrary, they taught him the opposite. Avraham on his own recognizes the Borei Olam. Avraham on his own removes himself from the evil influences of his surroundings. Now Hashem says, Lech Lecha, now continue. You left the tumah of your past. Lech Lecha, move forward now. And go El Ha'oretz Asher Areka. And the immediate lesson here is that a Jew, no matter what his past, no matter what he was into, doesn't matter. A person could totally transform himself. Miyitein tohor mitame. Just as Avraham did. Avraham did not have a positive past. Avraham's past was tamei. Avraham's past was avodah zarah. Avraham himself is an idol worshiper at the beginning of his life. So it doesn't matter what a Jew ever did in his past. A Jew can totally turn himself around and start new, just like Avraham did. Not only is this the parasha that talks to us about the first Jew, but this is also the parasha that has in it all the firsts, and also the first of that which is negative. Avraham had a rival. Yitzchak had a rival. Alo'umazeh. Whatever Hashem, all the kedusha that was created in the world was created with a rival in tumah, to make it fair. Bechira. Free choice. You could choose either Avraham or his counterpart, which was Nimrod. Nimrod is mentioned in this week's parasha as Amraphel. Amraphel is Nimrod. He was the first of the four kings who fights the five kings, as we read later on in the parasha. Amraphel is the rival of Avraham. Avraham is spreading Amunah. Amraphel is spreading Kfira. Amraphel wants to kill Avraham. Omar Pool, he's the one who ordered Avraham to be thrown into the furnace. The day Avraham passes away, Amraphel, Nimrod, is killed by Esav. If there's no Avraham in the world, there can't be a Nimrod in the world anymore. He's Le'umazah. Yitzchak is mentioned for the first time in this week's parasha. Hashem tells Avraham, you're going to have a child and you will name him Yitzchak. And in this parasha, Yishmael is mentioned for the first time. If there's a Yitzchak, there's a Yishmael. As we mentioned many times, Yitzchak's rise depends on Yishmael's fall. Yishmael will fall, then Yitzchak will rise at the end of time. Yishmael falls, Mashiach comes. Yishmael is mentioned for the first time here. Who else is mentioned for the first time here? Amalek. Amalek, interesting, is mentioned in the story of the Muhammad with the four and the five kings for the first time. The Pasuk says, they fought by Yaku Eskol Sedei Ha'amaleki. Rashi asks the obvious. Amalek wasn't even born yet. Esav wasn't born yet. This place was called Amaleki because in the future Amalek was born and lived in this area. But not only is Amalek mentioned for the first time here, so is Seir and so is Paran. Paran, the city of Yishmael. Seir, which is the city where Esav lives later on. Esav goes to Seir, the Olam Oishi and Bahar Tzir, and the Shpoites Har Esav, which is Seir, as we read later on in Vayishlach. Avo Yaladoini Seira. Many, many names of people and places are mentioned for the first time in this week's parasha, because this is where it starts. This is the beginning. This is the Rosh. Everything is included in the Rosh. Everything is in Parashas Lech Lecha. The first Jew is here, and all of his entire life, all the tests that he goes through, beginning in Lech Lecha, continuing in Vayera, are all in these parashas, and particularly in Lech Lecha, where everything is mentioned for the first time. Yerushalayim is mentioned for the first time in this week's parasha. Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Sholem is Yerushalayim. The counterpart of Yerushalayim is Damesek. Damesek is mentioned for the first time in this week's parasha. Avram Vayirdeif. Avram Avinu runs after the kings till he arrives in Damesek. Vayirdeif Matchoy Vasher Misimoyel Damesek. Damesek is the same letters as Mikdash. Yerushalayim is called Mikdash. There's Beis HaMikdash and then there's Mikdash. Mikdash is the Rambam writes in Mishnayos and Shkolim. That Mikdash is Yerushalayim. So Damesek is here. Yerushalayim is mentioned here for the first time. And so is the Le'umazeh of Yerushalayim, which is Damesek. And as the Medrash says, the Shara Yerushalayim will reach Damesek in the future. Mikdash will connect with Damesek. That's why whatever in the parasha we have for the first time here in Kedusha, we have in Tumah. Ma'asei Avoy Simin Lebonim. Avraham Avinu's entire life, wherever he went, all his trials and tribulations, the war that he fought with the four and the five kings, and how he dealt with them, are all a metaphor, not only, besides the literal understanding of it, of course it actually happened, but it's all a metaphor, and it's all poil demyoni, as the Svarim say, for the future. Because whatever he went through, we all went through, are going through, and therefore we learn from the lessons of the parasha, where it talks about our first Avinu Harisha and Avraham how to deal with our situations today. And just as Avraham Avinu, the goal of Avraham Avinu was to spread Elokus, was to spread godliness into the world, and bring the world to the Shar Hanun, bring the world to the level of Shmini, that's our goal. And that's why when Avraham Avinu finishes the war with the four and the five kings, which the four and the five kings, as Svarim tell us, are a remez to the constant battle between the Guf and the Neshama. The body, the Guf, is comprised of four components. Fire, wind, earth, and water. Esh, Mayim, Ruach, Ofer. Those are the four kings. The Neshama contains five Chalakim. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. We see here that the four kings overpower the five kings because normally the Guf, together with the Yetzer Hara, the Nefesh HaBahamas, is more powerful than the Neshama, than the Nefesh HaLekis. And without Hashem's help, we cannot conquer the body. Avraham Avinu enters the picture, and Avraham Avinu conquers the four kings. Avraham Avinu is the Shliach of Hashem. Avraham Avinu is able to overpower the four kings. Avraham Avinu conquers his body, the four components, and with doing that, he's able to conquer the four kings, which is the Poel Demyoni of the four Malchios, the four empires that Klal Yisrael will overpower in the future. The four kings mentioned here, Amraphel, Aryeh, Elosar, and Vesidol, correspond to Bovel, Poras, Yavon, and Edom. At the end of the day, El Emek Shoveh Hu Emek HaMelech, Avraham Avinu was proclaimed king, as Rashi says. All the nations proclaim him as king, just as Mashiach will be proclaimed as king as he conquers the four empires. Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem. And here we have Yerushalayim. Hoitzi Lechem Vayoyim. Yerushalayim is revealed. Yerushalayim mentioned here for the first time. And just as Yerushalayim is revealed here after Avram conquers the four kings and he wins the battle of his time, so too a Mashiach wins the battle of Melchemes Gog U'Magog, which we see today right now in our time, where the status of Yerushalayim is on the table, where they're actually talking right now, straight out, about what's going to happen, who's going to get Yerushalayim, how's it going to be divided. Melchemes Gog U'Magog B'dibur certainly has already started. Just as the result over here was that Avraham Avinu was proclaimed the king, Emek HaMelech, Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Sholem means complete. Yerushalayim is a city that will remain complete. Mentioned here for the first time, so too after Melchemes Gog U'Magog and after Mashiach is proclaimed king, the status of Yerushalayim will be decided forever by Hashem himself. And Malki Tzedek, Shem Benoyach, Hoitzi Lechem Vayoyin. He takes out bread and wine. As Rashi tells us from the Medrash, the bread, the wine, is a remez to the menachos and the nesachim, the flower offerings, the libations that were poured in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Medrash that this is the first time that wine didn't cause any negative effect. Till now, we read in the previous parasha, Noach gets drunk, Vayeshmin Hayayin Vayishkar, Vayiskal B'Seichoholoi, or in parashas, the Rashis, Adam eats from the Yetz Hadas, which according to one opinion was a grape, certainly having a negative effect on the world. Wine has in it the unfortunate ability to lead to sin, unless it's used for mitzvah, for kiddush, or on Purim, or on Yom Tov, or by a Suda's mitzvah. Not here, though. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hoitzi Lechem V'Yoyin. Says the Medrash, the wine in this parasha did not cause anything negative. This is the wine of La'asid Lavoi. This is the wine of Yerushalayim. This is the wine of the Yayin HaMashum Ba'anov, mentioned in the Medrash, the wine of Purim. This wine cannot have any negative effects. Vayomos Terach B'Choron. Terach dies in Choron. And the nun of that word is backwards. It's the nun. The nun is either the Shar HaNun of Tuma or the Shar HaNun of Kedusha. The Shar HaNun of Tuma is Kfira, atheism, heresy, and Znus. And it goes together. The two are connected. One leads to the other. The same we find by Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi excelled in Amunah, and they excelled in Shmiras HaBris at the same time. As the Pasuk says, Kishamru Imrasecha Uberischa Yinsoiru. They didn't sin by Chet HaEgel, and therefore they were the only ones who kept the Bris Mila. In our parsha, we have Emunah and Mila for the first time. The He'emin Bahashem, the first Ma'amin. Abraham is considered the first true believer. unlike the others. Adam wasn't a believer. Adam saw it with his own. How could Adam not believe in Hashem? Hashem created him. Of course, Adam knew there's a God. And the same with the others. But Avraham Avinu was not born into a world of Emunah. Avraham Avinu was born into Kfir and Avodah Zarah, dealing with a Nimrod and dealing with his own family. And Avraham Avinu develops Emunah on his own, true and pure, unadulterated Emunah. The He'emin Bahashem. The first time the word Emunah is mentioned in Chumash is mentioned in this week's parasha. Avraham is the Roish Lama Aminim. Therefore, this is the parasha of Bris Milah. Bris Milah goes together hand in hand with Emunah. Emunah leads to Bris. Bris leads to Emunah. Bris Milah is the gematria Nun Sharei Bina. Bris Milah leads us to the highest level, the Shar Hanun, which Shar Hanun is Emunah, the opposite of Kfira. And who in our parasha, the Le'umazah of Avraham, the Le'umazah of Bnei Yisrael, the opposite of Emunah and Bris is Amalek. Amalek, says the Pasuk, Asher Korcha Baderech. Amalek calls everything a coincidence. Korcha means that he encountered you on the road. Everything is just a chance encounter. Amalek is the Koifer. Reish is Goyim Amalek. Avraham is the first believer. Amalek is the Koifer. Amalek, by Yizanev Bechor, Rashi says he cut the Milois of Klal Yisrael. He scoffs at the concept of Bris. Amalek negates Emunah and Bris. And since this is the parasha of Emunah and Bris, Emunah mentioned for the first time, Bris mentioned for the first time, Emunah and Bris connecting in this parasha, Amalek is mentioned in this parasha. He's the Le'umah, so we have to fight Amalek. We have to remove the Krirus of Amalek. Asher Korcha Baderech. Amalek tries to cool us off. Amalek is the scorpion. Amalek is the Akrev. Mar Cheshvan is the month of the Akrev. The Akrev is the mazel of Mar Cheshvan to test us. There's Kriris in Mar Cheshvan. There's this feeling of Yish, we're no longer in the Yom Tov mode. The Yom Tov is over. And what's the first day, the first plain day of the year, after it's all over, after Zion Mar Cheshvan, is the eighth day of the eighth month, that a Jew has the ability on a plain day to connect himself to Shmini, to connect himself to that which is eternal, to that which is futuristic. Just as Avraham Avinu does. Avraham has in his name a Mem and a Resh and a Hey Beis Aleph. The Mem Resh, which is Mar, like Mar Cheshvan, Mar is equal to the word Amalek. And the Hey Beis Aleph, that's Haba, Olam Haba. A Jew has to transform the Merirus, the bitterness in this world, the Krirus, the coldness, the Akrev, the world, this world which is a world of decay, a world of bitterness, a world in which nothing lasts, and connected to the eternal. Yerach bul hu achodesh hashemini. Avraham, mar haba, olam haba. Take the meriris of this world and transform it into sweetness, as we mentioned last week, that the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Mar Cheshvan is derived from the four words Udvash Hayoim Hazeh Hashem, Vav Hey, Hey Yud, Udvash Hayoim Hazeh Hashem, to extend the sweetness of Tishrei into the bitterness of Mar Cheshvan, to bring the Dvash into the Merirus. This is the parasha that connects us to Shmini. This is the parasha that connects us to the world of Shmini. It's interesting that Mar Cheshvan in Chumash is called the Chodesh Hasheni. And in Navi it's called the Chodesh Hashmini. From Tishrei it's the second month. Sheni, which is two, denotes plurality, denotes Pilug, separation, division. Like on the second day of creation it doesn't say Toiv because Machlokes was created. This is the Chodesh of Shinuyim. This is the Chodesh of Sheni, of Pilug, of Machlokes.
Why wouldn't two give the element of Shittuf?
Well, that's also negative. Pardon? That's also negative.
Well, it's negative in terms of belief.
It's negative in terms of belief, but you also see that the two means that you know, there are two different opinions. There could be division. Uh-huh. The number three, right? Three combines the two, or one is even. That one is achdus. That's why the second day of creation it doesn't say that Hashem is satisfied with what He created on the second day, because it's machloikas and because it's sheni. So Mar Cheshvan, on the one hand, is the Chodesh Hasheni. This is the month in which the split in Malchus Beis David takes place. Malchus Beis David was split, the 10 Shvatim following Yeravim Ben Nevat, in the month of Mar Cheshvan, as the Svarim tell us. That's why there were many, many Gezeiris in Mar Cheshvan. It's all because of the Chaluka, the Machlokes that took place with Yeravim Ben Nevat and Rechavim in the Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, which is also the Chodesh Hasheni. However, it is also called the Chodesh Hashmini. If we add 50 to Sheni, we get Shmini. If we add the Nun, with the Nun into Sheni, which is the Mem Yud, Shmini, becomes Sheini, becomes Shmini. We add the Mem Yud, which Mem Yud is equal to 50, as we read in this week's parash, this week's Haftorah. Me, Pahal, Va'osa, Kairi Adairis Meirosh. Me bara Ela. Who is it that created the world? Hashem is referred to. The Zohar says Hashem is the me. Me. Who is he? We have no idea who he is. We refer to Hashem as me because we don't know who he is. We don't know what he is. And that's Nun. Me is equal to Nun. That's the level of Nun, the Shah Hanun, the level of Amunah. The highest level is the Shah Hanun, which is the me, the Mem Yud. We put that into Sheini and we get Shmini. Ma'cheshvan is transformed from being the Chodesh Hasheini to the Chodesh Hashmini. The Yerach Bul becomes the Chodesh Hashmini. And perhaps that's why Rashi ends off the previous parasha telling us about tzaddikim and misasim kruyim chayim. When we say rishoyim, even when they're alive, they're considered dead. That means even when they are involved in that which is eternal, but being that they are connected to this world and their main goal is this world, they're called dead because what they're really interested is only in worldly matters which doesn't last. Tzaddikim, on the other hand, even when they're involved in the mundane, tzaddikim apim misasim, that means even when they're involved in that which doesn't last, in that which is not eternal, and that which decays, Kruy and Chaim, they're called alive. That's how Rashi ends the previous parasha, because he's preparing us now for Avraham Avinu. The 20 generations till Avraham Avinu did not realize this concept, that we could take that which is dead, we could take that which doesn't last, and connect it to the eternal. The Shah Han, the world only experienced the Shah Hanun of Kfira, the Shah Hanun of Tumah, which is why there was a Mabul. And that's why Bukharan, the backwards Nun at the end of Parashas Noach, is a Nun. The Nun is turned around now. The world is now being transformed from the Shah Hanun of Tumah to the Shah Hanun of Kedusha with the arrival of Avraham Avinu on the scene. Avraham Avinu was now taking us into a new level. Lech Lecha. Lecha is equal to 50. Lecha is the Nun, which turns into Kol. Kol is Yesoid, as we know. The Midah of Yesoid, the Midah of Bris, Shmiras HaBris, is called Kol. Ki Kol Bashamayim V'Oretz, which is what Yishmael fights. Yodai Ba'Kol, B'Yad Kol Boy. Yishmael, the present Golus of ours, the situation that we find ourselves now at the end of actually of Golus Edom, connecting to Golus Yishmael, which a Seir and Yishmael, I mentioned for the first time in this week's parasha. This is again the parasha of Eretz Yisrael. This is the parasha in which we read how Avraham Avinu was promised that the Eser Umos, the Bris Bein Hapsorim, takes place in this week's parasha. This is the parasha of Eretz Yisrael. That's why this is the parasha of Yishmael, because Yishmael fights to take away Eretz Yisrael from us. So if Eretz Yisrael is mentioned in this week's parasha in its entirety, even the Keni Knizi V'Kadmoini, which will be given to us in the future as Man Mashiach. So in the parasha we have the Le'umazev Eretz Yisrael, which is Yishmael. Gol is Yishmael. The bris was only with Yitzchak. He has brisi ofkim es Yitzchak, as the pasuk says, not with Yishmael. Although Yishmael was circumcised, the Torah does not call it a bris. That's why it's not eternal. Yishmael does not connect to the world of Shmini. Although Yishmael tries and mimics and thinks and is trying to take away the Beis Hamikdash from us, as we mentioned many times. But the pasuk says, "V'yas brisi okim es Yitzchak." Akim es Yitzchak is b'gematria Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, which is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is only for those who follow the bris, which is Yitzchak v'Zaroi, which is those who have the true bris mila, which is Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov are the only ones that have the full rights to Yerushalayim and the full connection to the Olam Hashmini. And therefore Rashi, when he tells us Lech Lecha L'Hana'oscha L'Tayvoscha, Rashi's not referring here to the physical pleasures of this world. Do it for your benefit. Avraham Avinu's benefit is the benefit of Shamayim. What Avraham Avinu does is L'Shem Shamayim. Avraham's enjoyment is Ostis Anag Al Hashem. Avraham Avinu's enjoyment is the enjoyment of Hashem. Hashem is telling Avraham, Lech Lecha L'Hana Oscha L'Tayvoscha. The goal is that you will reach the level where that which you enjoy is what I enjoy. That which you enjoy is the Einig Nitzchi, the Einig of Olam Haba. And that's the ultimate goal, which Avraham Avinu reaches, of course, by the last of the 10 tests, which is the Nisayon HaAkeidah, where Avraham Avinu gives it all up. Where Avraham Avinu arrives in Moriah, he arrives in Yerushalayim, which is where he's traveling. Cholef v'nasaya hanegba, as Rashi says, Avraham is constantly traveling southward toward Yerushalayim. The goal is Yerushalayim. As we see today, Yerushalayim is on the table now for discussion. The goal is Yerushalayim. The end result is Yerushalayim. This we read in Ma'ar Cheshvan. Ma'ar Cheshvan, this is the month which is the mashal to the life of a Jew in this world. This is a world of Ma'ar Cheshvan. This is a world of Bul. This is a world of Mazel Akriv. There's a kriris to Kedusha. We live in a world which is the Shar Hanun of Tumah. Our job is to turn the Nun around, the Nun Hafucha. And no matter where we were, no matter how we felt, we can turn ourselves totally around, like Avraham Avinu did. Miyitein tohar mitomei. And we have to know that Vayomas Terach Bechara, no matter what happened in the past, Vayomas Terach Bechara, we can disconnect ourselves from before and begin anew. Lech Lecha, and this is where it really counts. In the month of Maracheshvan, we're on our own now. Lech Lecha, go and find yourself. Lech Lecha also has the meaning go, and Lecha, you will realize who you are, your full potential. The full potential of a Jew is when he goes through the trials and the tribulations of life and remains loyal. It's easy to be a Jew in Tishrei. Maracheshvan is where it really starts. The Lech Lecha is here in Maracheshvan. And yet that's why perhaps Maracheshvan was created with the letter Nun, and it is referred to as the Chodesh HaShemini, because it's here in this month when we connect the Gashmias to the Ruchnias, the world of decay to the world of eternity. That's when we reach and we are Zoicha to the level of Shemini, especially that this Shabbos is Ches, it's the eighth day of the eighth month. And it's a very interesting phenomenon. We find ourselves now in the year Tavshin Samech Ches. This is the year that ends with a Ches. And it's interesting that almost all the major historical events that took place with Klal Yisrael happened in a year that ended with a Ches. Yitzias Mitzrayim was in the year 2448, Tav Mem Ches. Matan Torah was in the year Tav Mem Ches. Avraham Avinu was born in the year that ended with an 8. So did Yitzchak, so did Yaakov, so did Moshe Rabbeinu. The first space, Hamikdash and the second, were both built in the year that ends with a Ches. We find ourselves now in Tav Shin Samech Ches. May we be Zoicha to connect ourselves to Shmini, to the world of 8, and connect the Gashmias to the Ruchnias. And may this be a year of where we begin the eternal, the Chayim Nitzchiim of the Osud Lover.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.